This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number four, VSiN Prime Time. Matt Brown, Keith Azari. Welcome to our Charlotte listeners over there. 10 o'clock. If you're listening to us at 10 o'clock over in Charlotte, you are an actual real fan. We do appreciate the time that you have spent with us here for the first 3 hours. WZGV, 730 AM and 97.5 FM. Thank you guys for listening over there in Charlotte. As we look down the Major League Baseball slate, talk some NFL as we released our NFL betting guide today. All kinds of bets. Get in there while the action is hot, guys. I'm telling you. You are going to be going in and finding some bets that you find interesting, and you're going to be getting the better numbers now than you will a month from now. No casual bettors are paying attention right now, Keith. Like, the casual bettors are not making futures bets in the NFL, but they will in about a month.
Yeah.
And so go in right now because you want to make sure that you're getting the best of the number.
Got to get in before other people are in. It's like just as easy as that. And when you get our guide, like, you're literally going to talk to getting to read what all the people that get paid to study this do in the offseason.
Chicago White Sox on the road at the LA Dodgers. This is Shane Smith versus Yoshinobu Yamamoto. They are minus 365 here in this one, Keith. Yeah, minus 365. You got a $365.
So you're saying there's a chance?
Yeah, I mean, like, look. Not my type of thing. Round ball, round bat, weird things happen. Plus 281 for the White Sox on the road if you want to bet them. 8.5 is our total. But you do have a play here where you don't have to lay minus 365.
Yeah, I was looking at Yoshi Yamamoto, but I veered away. I'm going to go Max Muncy. Again, go back to the hits, the runs, the RBI prop. And this one, I got in at minus 110. So we're going to go over 1.5 here for one of the hottest hitters in this lineup that not enough people are talking about. So Muncy's got 4 home runs over his last 6 games. 6 consecutive games that he's gone over the 1.5 on the Herbie, on the hits, the runs, the RBIs. And as for Shane Smith, now I don't know how long he lasts in this game, but he's given up 11 runs in his last 2 starts, so that's not good. So we're going to go Muncy over 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs, minus 110. And I'd be remiss if I didn't throw it out there. And I know that we're not typically going to give out a lot of home run props, but the fact that Muncy has 4 home runs over his last 6 games, I would do the Herbie play at minus 110. It's too much for me not to go into. Plus 425 for Muncy on a home run. I'd put a little something on that as well.
We were talking about the NFC East. We went through the 3 teams in which have playoff aspirations. I don't think that the Giants are one of those teams. And Keith, I wanted to ask you as to how in the world this team is going to get to 6 wins. It's currently set at 5.5. I have played the under. I played the alt under. I'm going through at Washington, at Dallas, Kansas City, the Chargers. Okay, New Orleans, but it is at New Orleans. So it's New Orleans, but it's on the road at New Orleans. Philadelphia, at Denver, at Philadelphia, San Francisco, Chicago, Green Bay, at Detroit. Let's say Drake May is not as good as I thought he is. At New England, Washington, Minnesota, let's say J.J. McCarthy's terrible. Las Vegas, it's at Vegas. They're going to come out here. They won't go out to the casinos and have a party, so that's fine. Okay, there we go. And then Dallas, let's say, doesn't have anything to play for in week 18 or something like that. That is me being generous, and they still only get to 5 wins. Where does this team get 6 wins?
So I can't find it, and I've been trying to, right? Like, again, I'm in the New York market. Part of my job is to cover these New York teams, and I keep coming away with 5 wins as well. Like, that's the number I keep coming with. Now, all right, here's what I, for you Giants fans, let's try to give you hope here. And every season there is at least 1 or 2 teams where we all think they're going to win 4 or 5 games and they get to 7, 8, or 9 wins.
Yes.
Like, they sneak up.
True.
And they find a way. They've got a good defense. Carter, Burns, Thibodeau, like, those are a real NFL defensive players.
Very true.
Russell Wilson is not garbage. He is, I don't believe he is, like, absolutely washed. He's not what he used to be, but he is a veteran. He is a leader, and he will be fine. You have Malik Nabers that a lot of people believe could one day be the best wide receiver in all of the NFL. Like, literally, I was throwing footballs to him last year, and he still was catching touchdowns, okay? So you have that. I think the running game could be decent. The offensive line should be a little bit better, So with all of that, could they accidentally win two games because of their defense? If we believe they could accidentally win two games for the defense by their defense, that's how you get to six or seven wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm struggling to find it. I'm trying to be Mr. Glasses Half Full guy. Hey, I'm struggling.
I agree with you. And I mean, I guess one of the things would be, and this is just strictly from a betting standpoint, would be it's probably a bonus that the bye is out in week 14 because we always talk about these rookie quarterbacks and the natural place to insert them is off coming off a bye week. They get 2 weeks to prepare for the game, et cetera, et cetera. Well, if that's the case, then Jackson Dart doesn't come into the equation until week 15, Keith, as opposed to, let's call it whatever, a week 7 bye where he's going to play the majority of the season for the team. I think if you're on a win total, if you were given truth serum, you probably would rather have Russell Wilson, even Jameis Winston, whatever, than Jackson Dart trying to get you to over your win total.
Well, and that's the other interesting part about all this, right, is that Shane and Dable are on the hot seat. Like, whether you believe it or not, they are. So the question becomes, does their seat get hotter if, let's say, they start 0-3? I have them starting the season 1-5. That's like looking at their schedule, they look like a 1-5 team. If they were 1-5, somewhat out of a job at that point, or is it a switch to Jackson Dart? And then if he shows enough signs that he could be the future QB, and let's say that 1-5, now you end up with 5 wins on the season. But so that's, you know, you get 4 wins out of Jackson Dart. Now you'll still get a high draft pick. So maybe you use that on another defensive player, or maybe if there's a top wide receiver in the draft that you could take at number, 6 in the draft, number 7 in the draft, whatever it may be, if you were a team that only won 5 or 6 games, like that might save you your job. Russell Wilson, if he get you 6 or 7 wins and then you never see Jackson Dart, Shane and Dable are probably gone.
Right. Right. It's fair.
So I don't know how they keep their job in that way.
Moving on to the NFC North, the Detroit Lions are +140. The Packers are +260. The Vikings are 4-1 and the Bears are 425. The Bears actually longer than the Vikings here in the NFC North, at least over at DraftKings. I think the Lions are the rightful favorite. I have the Lions. You have the Lions. I would try to make a case for maybe the Packers if there is some upside. We talked earlier in the program, if you guys were with us, about how I can't get there with the Packers because I cannot get a grasp on what this team actually is. It's going to be hard for me to back the Vikings with a team that I've never seen the quarterback actually play a true, real NFL snap, one that meant something. And then the Bears, while I do think they're going to be better, and I certainly like everything the Bears did in the offseason, is it enough to topple the Lions? I don't quite think so. So +140, I actually think is a pretty good bet, pretty good number. I would still tell people, if you wanted to put that in your account, I'd be perfectly fine with it.
I think the Lions are going to win this division. They're the best team in the division. I know the questions there are about the coaches, the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator leaving. I know those are questions. I want to double back to the Minnesota Vikings, though, because for all the questions we have about J.J. McCarthy, Sam Darnold had 1 foot out of the NFL, essentially. Like, I know he was going to hang around and be a backup QB for his entire career. That's the way it looked. He got thrust into a starting position when McCarthy went out, and all he did was help this Minnesota Vikings team get to, 14 wins last season? J.J. McCarthy, like, there's a reason he was taken in the top 10. There's a reason he was a first-round pick. There's a reason why that coaching staff believed in him. I think they're still probably a 10-win team. I actually, I heavily considered picking them as a wild-card team. I think that the Packers and the Vikings are both going to be vying for that number 2 spot in their division, in the NFC North. And the Lions are a 12-win team. I think the Packers and the Vikings are both hovering around 10-win teams. I think the Niners are fascinating. I know we're going to get to them in a second. And you already know that I like the Commanders to get to at least 10 wins this season. So that's why Commanders would get in. I think the Packers are probably get the slight edge on the Vikings. So that gets them into my wild card. And then we'll move on from there.
I don't know why I'm drinking the Bears Kool-Aid. And I'll tell you, my biggest position.
Because you like Ben Johnson.
My biggest position last season was against the Bears. I took it every which way you could possibly take the Bears. I bet against this team. But I love basically every single thing they did in the offseason. And like, I mean, I understand we haven't seen it on the field yet. And so still the proof needs to be out on the field with my eyeballs. But I absolutely love every single thing they did in the offseason. Going and getting Williams an offensive line, obviously getting Ben Johnson. You look at this receiving core, adding a slot receiver in Zacchaeus. And then on the defensive side, adding all those guys that they had there. I want to not be the dude that is like, oh, well, here we go again with the Bears. But I can't help it. I love everything they did.
So what were your bets on them then?
Last year? Everything. Missed the playoffs.
Whoa, this year now.
Oh, see, that's where we're getting with this. Yet, I cannot find a bet that I love on this team because okay. I do think that we are, I think everybody kind of likes what they did, right? And so that's the problem is I don't know how to get there. I mean, this is the over 8.5. So to get to 9 wins is plus 105. I mean, do I think that this team is a little bit better than 500? I mean, on paper, Keith, on paper, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I mean, last year they threw away 2 games, basically. So add those 2 wins to your team, plus another win or 2 because you're just a better team. There's your 9 wins. I got you.
Guys, come on out here to Vegas and hang out with us. $400 all-in price. You get 2 nights at Circa. You get $100 dining credit, $100 beverage credit, and a day bed at Stadium Swim. CircaLasVegas.com. That is now through September the 4th. No more fees, just $400 all-in pricing.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN Primetime rolls along here on a Tuesday. Matt Brown, Keith Irizarry, and we've talked the East, we talked the North. Now, the NFC South, in which this is a very interesting division to me because I think all the teams are meh. I think all the teams are kind of meh. And so with that, I went with a team that I thought maybe had the more electric players, the little bit bigger upside. You go Bucks, I go Falcons. I think we can both agree it's not going to be the Saints, and it would take a pretty miraculous feat for it to be the Panthers, a pretty big jump for that team.
Yeah.
That said, 9.5 win total on the Bucks, way down 7.5 on the Falcons, 6.5 for the Panthers, 5.5 on the Saints, who, by the way, are the lowest power-rated team in Steve Mackinnon's power ratings that are located in our NFL betting guide that just came out today here. Division odds minus 110 on your Bucks team. You think that they can just keep it rolling?
I do. And you missed an opportunity there to play to all the youth out there. You could have called them mid instead of meh. Mid would have been the
see.
Yeah, it's
you get the lingo because you've got the teenagers. I don't unless I see it on. I don't even know where I would see it. I don't know how to keep up with it. I don't know.
Yeah, like I definitely do, and we'll deviate for a second. I find out like all of this stuff from my 14 and my 10-year-old. Like, do you even know what 6'7 is? Do you know when they go 6'7 or no?
No, is that mid? I guess.
Cool. Oh, that. No, it was from a rap song, and then it went over into some of the AAU basketball world, and then what the kids try to do is they try to jokingly get older people, like me and you, to accidentally say something like, oh yeah, like 6-7 times, and then they all like giggle about it because they get an old person to say the thing from the rap line. But the way to counteract that and the way to really bother your kids is to just say it too often.
Yes.
And then they don't want you to say it anymore, and it's all over. So that's
a pro tip right there. That's a pro tip from you.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah. Definitely learn that. All right, back to betting.
Yeah.
So I like the Buccaneers, and Mitch and Paulie were talking about this really. Mitch was too, that I think he put a flyer on Bucky Irving to be offensive player of the year. Bucky Irving, if you watched him play towards the end of last season, he really did look, when he was healthy, like he could be one of the top running backs in all of the NFL. Mm-hmm. And Rashad White is fine. I mean, like, I know the book is kind of off of him. Like, we know what he is. He's probably really more like a third down back, and every once in a while could fill in when need be. Baker Mayfield has totally rebuilt his career in Tampa Bay. The Buccaneers have done a fantastic job going from Brady to Baker and not really missing a beat. Mike Evans, he's long in the tooth, but he's still really talented. Chris Godwin is back. I think Emeka Ebuka is going to be a really good NFL pro. I thought that was a steal for them in the draft this year. Kate Otten put up some nice fantasy numbers at times last year as well. And then I think the defense is solid. And you look at the offensive line, it's really good too. To your point about the Atlanta Falcons, and I know you're going to talk about them in a second, I think that the Falcons are really, really close to the Buccaneers. So I totally get picking either of these teams. I'll just go with the team that I've seen do it more than the one that I don't know yet if they can.
And I think that is completely fair. And honestly, I think the addition of Ebuka is massive for this team, because we don't really know what Godwin's going to look like coming off of this really horrible, gruesome, catastrophic injury. And like you mentioned, I understand that it's Mike Williams and Derrick Henry that are just taking Father Time and punching him over the head. But like, eventually he's going to win. Father Time is going to come back at some point and he's going to win here. But I like that they went ahead and invested in that wide receiving core with a young guy. And I think that was a very, very good pick on their part. I just wonder, the defense has a bunch of really good players, but also a little bit older as well. Last year, they ran on the right side of injury variance. It didn't hurt them all that bad. Yes, Godwin went down, but that was really the only major injury for any length of time for them. I just wonder, can they continue to dance through the raindrops? If so, they are the best team in the division and definitely should win. I took a little bit of the upside here in the Falcons. I really like this offensive line, and I think that's a big thing for a guy like Penix going into his first full-time starting role here for them. And then you look, I think there's some really good players for him to throw the ball to. Obviously, London, Pitts, Mooney. If you think that McLeod is any good, he's got him to throw to as well. And then, of course, Bijan Robinson coming out of the backfield. I don't know if the offense is necessarily going to be the problem. If it's kind of like we were talking about with the Commanders a little bit earlier, Keith, is the defensive side of the ball, where there's a lot to be desired, specifically on the defensive line, in which they got no pressure at all last year on quarterbacks. And I think that could be the case this year again, unfortunately. But if they can figure some stuff out, if they can scheme some stuff, if Jalen Walker can actually be a difference maker there on the defensive line for them, I think there's a little bit of upside here for this Falcons team. So I went Falcons. That said, it's not a super, super strong bias of them over the Bucs.
Yeah, I'm in the exact same boat here. Like, I would probably steer clear of this division because I think the Falcons could potentially win 9 games. And I think the Buccaneers are probably 9-ish, 9 or 10 win team. And yeah, we're not going to take the Saints or the Panthers in this one. Although I'm so fascinated to see what Bryce Young does.
Me too.
Like, was the last 5 games of last year an enigma, or is that really who he is? Is he going to be a real, not a superstar, not even a star, but can he be a starting quarterback in the NFL? I'm looking forward to seeing that.
I'm glad you said that to close this out, because that's I have the exact same feelings. It was almost like getting benched just took this weight off his shoulders or something, right? And it was like he comes back from getting benched and he just like played a little bit more loose and just played a little bit better. And I wonder if that does carry over into this season as well. Getting into the West, both of us, I love this. Both of us on the Rams. I am big time against the world when it comes to the 49ers, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. But this Rams team on paper, what is there to dislike about this? If you look, Matthew Stafford still balls out. Puka Nacua is a legitimate number one in this league. And now you bring in Devontae Adams, who, yeah, I understand, he's a little bit older as well, can still produce, and more than anything, Keith, keep the double teams and keep all of these coverages from rolling over on Nacua all the time, because I do think Devontae Adams still has enough in the tank to where if a team decides to do that, then Adams can just go nuclear with Stafford throwing in the ball as well. Really good offensive line, good tight end, good slot receiver in Atwell. Williams, obviously Kyron Williams in the running back position. I think this team's going to score a ton of points.
I think this could be an offense. At the end of the season, It would surprise me more if it's not a top five offense right. in the NFL. And I think they've got enough on the defensive side of things, too, as well. This feels like an LA Rams team that McVay is going to be able to scheme some really big things here. Go back to the fantasy football conversation. Mm-hmm. Puka Nacua is towards the top of that list as well, because he's going to catch 115 footballs this year.
Yeah, it is. I love the addition of Adams. Like I said, he doesn't have to be a number one now. And who? So what no. is what is his what does he bring to a team to be the number two? That is unreal for this Rams team. So love the Rams. Like you said, a lot of talent on the defensive side, too. I think they can get some pressure on these teams. I think they're going to be able to do some really, really good things. Now, it leads me into my 49ers conversation here, because people are going to go, wait. You don't have the 49ers winning the division. I do not. Actually, I have the 49ers under their win total as well. And Keith, my explanation was this, and I said this a little bit yesterday on Follow the Money here on the network, which is I just think that we're making a ton of assumptions here with this team, that a 29-year-old Christian McCaffrey is going to come back and look like Christian McCaffrey after the second major injury of his career, that Brandon Ayuk, who also is in his late 20s, is going to come back and look like a number one wide receiver. And even if he can't be, then we're going to say just all of a sudden in year five, Juwan Jennings is now a number one wide receiver in the NFL. I can't really say that. And you lose all this talent on the defensive side as well. Deebo Samuel out the door. I just think there's a lot of assumptions being made because the 49ers have just, quote, always been good, and they have a Harbaugh as coach. I'm not willing to just go there and just hand them this division just because they're the 49ers.
But you have them as a playoff team.
I do have them as a playoff team, mainly because you have the NFC South. The NFC South exists. It's a one-team division for sure. And maybe depending on what goes on, even in the East, because again, I don't know what the Cowboys are going to be, and I don't know what they're. So, like, I think it's more of a by default type situation.
So I'm kind of in the same boat there. So for me, my wild cards, I had the Packers getting in, I had the Commanders getting in, and then I was kind of between the Niners and the Vikings for that last spot. Very tempted to put the Vikings there. I just think that the NFC West, there might be some more wins for the Niners to steal. So I had the Niners getting in very, very slightly. But I'm with you. There's a lot of question marks to the Niners. But if all those question marks turn into exclamation points, they're a playoff team.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the schedule is like cake. I mean, they have like the easiest schedule you've ever seen.
That's what it is. There's wins to have.
Yeah, like they have the easiest schedule basically that you've ever seen. So there is that goes into it as well. But again, I'm just not willing to just hand it to them just because they're the 49ers. Guys, if you want to check out the Betting Splits page, you know you can get involved for as little as $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. We get all the stuff straight from DraftKings and Circa, so you can go in, compare, contrast, see what the big national book is doing, and see what the book that has a lot more, let's call it sharper bettors and bigger action going on, and see if that leads you into a bet or at least confirms what you're thinking out there. VSiN.com/subscribe, as little as $9.99 for your first month.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN Primetime for another half hour. You got me and Keith as we talk off air about this Los Angeles Angels team that puts away the Braves 4-0, shuts out the Braves at home. They are 42-42 here on July the 1st, Keith, and I would have been way off on this one. I thought the Angels were going to be one of the bottom feeders, and I could not have been more wrong about this team.
Yeah, they're like, I don't want this to sound like I'm being disparaging. They're just like a plucky team. All the peripherals would tell you that they should be bad. Like, you look at run differential as something. And again, run differential sometimes can be a little misleading, because if you had the Orioles just had that 22 run game against the Rays, what is 22-8. So that obviously changes things a little bit. But the Angels are a minus 45 run differential, yet they're still 42-42. They're an average team that's 42-42, but it's surprising to us because everyone thought they'd be below average to worse than that. So good for them. Good on the Angels. You know, Mike Trout is at least on a team that's probably going to be relevant, maybe relevant as we get through at least the end of July and into early August.
Yeah, I mean, it is – It is wild to me. I mean, I have an over ticket on Trout home runs. I just need health from him, I think, because they put this out at 20.5, Keith. And like, I mean, Mike Trout is hitting 21 home runs if he stays healthy. I know he's already missed a chunk of games and all of that, but it's just, I was like, this is just absurdly low. And if he gets hurt and misses the whole season again, then so be it. But I will play this. I will play this every single time. Like, just no way I can't.
You know, I mean, Angels to make the playoffs would be an interesting bet, right? Mm-hmm. Because the Blue Jays are on a streak right now. They won three. They won seven of the last 10. They have 47 wins. The Rays have now lost three games in a row. I think most people believe that the Rays are good. The Mariners, I think the book is out. They're very helter-skelter. You really don't know what you're going to get. And then the Angels are two games behind the Mariners. Like, could the Angels hang around long enough?
Right.
Could they find a way to sneak into that third wild card? Maybe, possibly. I might be worth a, you know, a little pizza money.
Yeah, I mean, like, could they be buyers, you know, like for the first time in forever? For the first time in forever.
Yeah.
I mean, that would, the front office doesn't even know what to do. Like, they're sitting there like, are we going to be buyers? How the hell do we be buyers? Like, what is that? Like, everyone wants us to be sellers. So how the hell are we going to be buyers? So, I mean, maybe they're going to be buyers when it all comes down to it. Guys, let's talk about the G-Bank trifecta. If you haven't heard about all of this, what we're doing is G-Bank, First Bet, and VEASAN. And so we're partnering up here. You open up a VEASAN signature card over there with G-Bank in the first 90 days. Deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet. We talked about those guys earlier where you can place your horse wagers. And if you do that, it'll trigger the first of this $500 trifecta. What it includes is $200 in cashback rewards on your Visa signature card. You'll also get a $100 deposit match at First Bet, and then we complete it with a VEASAN Pro subscription. So that is your $500 trifecta from G-Bank, First Bet, and VEASAN. So head to VEASAN.com/G-Bank, that's VSIN.com/GBANK for this. Now, it is a one-time promotion. It's limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer. It's not going to apply to request to convert existing accounts. So again, apply today, VEASAN.com/GBANK. Terms and conditions do apply. Shift gears a little bit as we've been talking a lot about just these markets with the teams here, Keith, and get into one of these more specific markets in the NFL Rookie of the Year. Now, as everyone would imagine, it's going to be a no-doubt starter and a no-doubt starter as your short shots here in Ashton Jeanty and Cam Ward. Cam Ward is going to start day one for Tennessee, and obviously Ashton Jeanty, it might lead the league in carries when it's all said, and it's Pete Carroll. He might lead the league in carries. We know Pete Carroll loves him a running back, so that's plus 250 and plus 350. Everybody else 10-1 or longer. I think it is very rightfully so, these two guys. I think at the very least, barring some sort of injury, Jeanty is going to be in the conversation at the very end of all of this. I'm not so sure about Ward. I think that Titans team is terrible, so I don't know if he's going to have the counting stats to be part of all of this. But what do you make of this market?
Yeah, they nailed it. It's the correct order here. I think Travis Hunter at 10-1. Again, I'm sure the books are going to take a lot of money on him because – let's throw these numbers out. Let's say he is more than just a part-time offensive player, right? Mm-hmm. And he goes for 900 receiving yards, 8 touchdowns. He's going to be in the Rookie of the Year for the Offensive Rookie of the Year conversation, at least. Marion Hampton needs an injury to happen in front of him or needs to beat out Najee Harris. I'm not sure that he will. Tyler Shuck is going to be on a team where the Saints, I'm not sure they win more than 3 games this year, so he won't be Offensive Rookie of the Year because if they're losing that many games, probably means he's throwing a lot of picks. I also don't know if he stays the start of the whole year. McMillan, I'm not in on yet. Now, Travion Henderson is interesting, but the Patriots don't typically use their running backs like that, so I don't think he'll put up the numbers. Quinshon Judkins in Cleveland, also interesting, but I'm not sure that he will get the numbers. And that brings us to one of your guys at Shedeur Sanders at 20-1. So I like Sanders. I'm high on Sanders or higher on Sanders than a lot of others. Your reasoning for Sanders is what?
So I played in hopefully people were listening to us when this went down, but I played both Sanders and Gabriel both on draft night. And the reason being here, Keith, was that I think the opportunity is going to be there for one of these two dudes. Now, which one? I don't know. Cleveland, obviously a bad organization, and very well might decide to start Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett. But then what did you draft two quarterbacks for? If you're going to start one of these, one of these guys, okay, Flacco's a million years old, and we already know there's no upside to Kenny Pickens. And if you thought there's upside to Kenny Pickens, then why did you draft two quarterbacks? It makes no sense. And so I think one of these dudes is going to get the opportunity. Now, which one? I don't know. So I just played both of them. And the start of all of this, in the precipice of this bet, is just the fact that opportunity as a quarterback in this market is just so incredibly valuable. That's why Cam Ward is sitting there at plus 350. The Titans are going to be terrible. They have one of the lowest win totals in the league. They're one of the lowest power rated teams, but he's still at plus 350 just because of the opportunity. Well, if we knew for sure that Sanders was going to be starting or that Gabriel was going to be starting here, they would be more in that like 650, 750, 850 range.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to where they are right now. And so I think there's value in both of these guys because I honestly believe one of them has to start unless the Browns truly are the most bizarre and crazy dumb organization there is on the face of the planet, which is not out of the realm of possibility. And they could go and start 57-year-old Joe Flacco and try to justify starting him over the fact that they took two quarterbacks in the draft.
But I would bet on Flacco to start game number one. I would bet on Kenny Pickett to get a start before Sanders and Dylan Gabriel. So my fear with your Sanders and Gabriel picks are that they both will get starts this year, but I'm not sure that either of them will get enough starts to win this award. I think you're spot on because it's a smart play by you, because if one of them ends up starting 13 games, there's a really good chance that one of those guys ends up as offensive rookie of the year. I think if push came to shove, if I had to do it, I think I might go Travis Hunter because I think there might be touchdowns to be had there. Like, I really, truly believe he might get 8 to 10. Again, assuming he plays enough on the offensive side of things that we think he's going to play. And like you said about an hour ago, the Jaguars didn't draft him that high and use that much draft capital on him to only play him a little bit on offense and a little bit on defense. Like, they want to really utilize him and all of his assets. If he gets 8 to 10 touchdowns, I think there's a real legitimate chance he gets NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. The sneaky one to me is Travion Henderson, but my fear is that the Patriots won't use him enough.
Yeah, I am with you on her. So if I had to come in today, just based off the odds, and I didn't already have Sanders and I didn't already have Gabriel, and those numbers have been pounded down from where we got them whenever they first came out, I think Hunter's the logical play, mainly because if he really does put up decent numbers on the offensive side of the ball and plays a significant amount of snaps on the defensive side, I think that is going to be enough for a lot of voters to want to sway his direction, unless we just have Jenty become one of the top five backs in the league. And honestly, Keith, he very well might be. Like, I was not joking. We know Pete Carroll loves running backs. We know he loves to run the ball a ton. It wouldn't surprise me at all if Jenty is top three in the league in carries.
And it's not like he wasn't a workhorse at Boise State as well. Like, Jenty, we know he can do it. I don't know what that'll do to his NFL career down the road.
Right.
But right away, you're spot on. Like, there is a legitimate chance he's going to be top five in carries this season, which would probably lead you to like 1,200 rushing yards, probably lead you to, 8 to 10 touchdowns. All of those numbers sounds like rookie of the year.
It's just for me, locking up money for a long time at plus 250 is just kind of like not my style, So
unless you're putting $1 million
on it. It's just like not my style. Right. So and the deal is about Jenty, to put a bow on this conversation, the odds aren't going to they can't get that much worse for him. So like, you can wait on this, but if you want to bet Jenty, you can wait because it's not going to get that much worse for him. Even 3 or 4 games into the season, you can at least see what's going on there before you lock your money up with Jenty. We put a bow on this edition when we come back.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Final segment here, VSiN Prime Time. Matt Brown, Keith Irizarry, and let me tell you, man, this is been a, I mean, action-packed show here, us running through all of that, and I know what you're sitting there thinking. You're going, guys, you got all these divisions. What's going to happen with all of it? Well, stick around. We'll let you know what we think when it's all said and done here, but let's run through the scoreboard real quick for you guys out there. Talk some finals. Jays 12-5 over the Yankees. Yes, this Yankees team. Look at that stand. Look at the standings over there, guys. They are only up a game on the Rays and the Jays there in that one. Keith, 2-0 Marlins over the Twins. Ryan goes out and gives the Twins all he can give them, but it was not enough. 2-0 win there for the Marlins, who 8 straight and all 8 as underdogs.
I don't know how the Marlins are doing it. They, you know, patching things together. They got a couple of young players, a lot of names in that lineup that the casual sports fan does not know. And I don't know if they'll ever know. But suddenly the Marlins have the same record as the Atlanta Braves. Just digest that, everybody. The Marlins and the Braves are the same team.
Pirates 1-0 over the Cardinals. It was a Paul Skene start, but he does not get the win. He goes 5 innings, gives up 5 hits and a walk, 5 strikeouts. Again, good start, just not a Skenesian start as we are used to. The A's did get it done in 10 over the Rays, and so the Rays drop a really good start from Boz, actually. 7 innings, 11 Ks for him in that one, but they were not able to get it done. The Angels 4-0 over the Braves. Angels 42-42. On the season, yes, 500 here on July the 1st for this Angel squad. Cubs 5-2 over the Guardians. And we have a bunch of postponements today. So the Phillies and Padres got postponed. The Nationals and Tigers got postponed. The Mets and Brewers got postponed. And then we will be resuming play in the Reds and Red Sox tomorrow afternoon. So that game stopped in the fourth inning, 2-1 in favor of the Red Sox. And our Rangers, Keith, not only got to the 5 runs, they doubled it up. 10 runs for the Rangers as they are up 10-2 on the Orioles right now. 6-4 Astros and Rockies in the bottom of the seventh. Bottom of the fourth, Royals and the Mariners 3-1 in favor of the Royals. Into the fourth, the Diamondbacks up 4-2 on the Giants, and the Dodgers up early there in that one, 4-0 on the White Sox. Okay. Keith, we've told
before
everybody.
Before we go to football, yes. No, hold on. Before we go to football, I got to give you one quick update here as well. We'd be remiss if we didn't do it. The Commissioner's Cup in the WNBA. No Caitlin Clark, but the Fever still win over the Lynx, 74-59. So a real nice win for Indiana. Well-balanced attack. Natasha Howard had 16 points. Aaliyah Boston ended up with 12 points and 11 rebounds. And the Lynx fall. They were favorites in this one. Rough night for Kayla McBride, one of their best players, just 1 of 7 shooting, 7 points. Nafisa Collier, likely the MVP if the season were over today, went 35 minutes, didn't shoot well, had 12 points. So a tough loss for the Lynx. And a reminder for everybody out there, like the Caitlin Clark fans, I know that she misses this game. Technically, it doesn't count as a missed game because the Commissioner's Cup Championship doesn't go into the 44-game slate. So she's dealing with the groin issue. They decided it was better to keep her sidelined rather than risk any further injuries. And hey, they get the win.
The one thing that I kept seeing come through here, I guess the halftime show, Red Panda is like a very popular halftime show. Like she like gets on a unicycle, like on top of a ladder.
Yeah.
She fell. And
no.
Yes. She fell and had to be like medically attended to, it was not good. So shout out to Red Panda. Hopefully everything okay with her there in that one. Guys, of course, when we get done here, you're going to stick around for Greg Peterson. Just watch him walk in here. So he will keep you entertained until starting at 11 p.m. Eastern. Then you're going to get up tomorrow morning with VSiN by the Books with Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis. And of course, follow that with a numbers game. My guy, Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin there on that one. So we told you who we think is going to win all these divisions. We told you about the wild card teams as well. So what does it mean, Keith, when it's all said and done on the AFC side of things? We did not talk about this beforehand. We both have the Ravens coming through this. And, you know, for me, they've gotten so close, and I understand. I mean, they're one catch away from moving on. It just seems like they get to the playoffs and some sort of weird thing happens. They cannot always be snake bitten. I think Lamar finally gets it done here. I got the Ravens in the AFC.
So I love the Ravens this year, too. And we talked about it earlier. They added a few players, and you talk about the catch that didn't happen that should have happened from Mark Andrews. And I'm sure he has lost a lot of sleep over that, because you catch that ball, you're moving on, you're still alive. You don't catch that ball, you lose, season's over. The Baltimore Ravens, like, for Lamar Jackson, it's going to be either get it done or it never happens. We both expect the Chiefs to be down this year as opposed to what they've been. You think worse than I do. Like, I still think the Kansas City Chiefs win that division. I still think they probably end up as a top, you know, three seed in the AFC. I think the Baltimore Ravens are the best team in the AFC. So I will pick them, even though Buffalo is going to be tough. I think you know, the Bengals will score 9 million points a game. They also might give up 9 million and one. So sometimes that scares me.
I'm with you there. I mean, the deal about the Bills, I love them as a regular season team. I just wonder, when you get to the playoffs, like, who's the guy that makes the big catch for you? And certainly Keon Coleman could take a second year leap. I'm not saying that that's out of the realm of possibility. And Josh Palmer, I think, is a fine number three receiver, maybe number four receiver or whatever. But I just wonder if you ever get into a point, Keith, where you are trailing and you're not bully balling people and you got to get it done from behind. Like, who's that guy that they go to? Is it Khalil Shakir? Like, I just don't see that guy for this team. And that's what keeps me off them a little bit.
I mean, I guess Josh Allen could just keep running over people.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's that.
Or just hand the ball off to James Cook. Yeah. You know, assuming he's there and assuming he reports and everything
right,
like that.
Yeah.
I'm with you. If I had to, like, rate the AFC, it's the reason why I put the Ravens ahead of the Bills. Mm. Because I trust what the Ravens offense can be more than what the Bills offense actually is.
On the NFC side of things, again, didn't talk about this beforehand, both on the Eagles. I am as high on the Eagles as I could possibly be. I just think this team continues to be a masterclass of what you do in the offseason, a masterclass of what you do in the draft, making really, really shrewd and really moves that improve the team today. And that's what I really, really like about this Eagles squad. Like we said at the very, very top of the show, I don't need Jalen Hurts to be a top five quarterback in the NFL whenever you have all of these other pieces and that defense to go along with it. I like the Eagles to come out of the NFC again.
Howie Roseman may be the greatest executive ever. Yeah. And I know that sounds like hyperbolic, but really think about what Howie has done, how he has managed his money, and how he has managed to, like, just continuously put out the best product out there. Jalen Hurts is a leader of men. You can go up and down that roster. But I think even more importantly is find the team that's better than them in the NFC. That's the thing. Like, you and I both agree that the Ravens are the team in the AFC, but we'd be okay with you making an argument for the Buffalo Bills. Like, there's a legit argument there. I think you could even make the argument, like, if you love the Chiefs, you could make an argument for them, right? In the NFC, you and I both really like the Rams. And the Rams, maybe if it wasn't snowing, maybe they would have beaten the Eagles last year. Maybe, who knows? But I don't think the Rams are better than the Eagles. I don't think the Commanders are better than the Eagles. I don't think the Lions are better than the Eagles. I don't think anybody in the NFC South is better than the Eagles. I don't believe the Packers are better than the Eagles. So what does that mean? The Eagles are the best team in the NFC. Now, injuries, all that stuff can happen. But as constituted, as we sit here on Tuesday, July 1st, I believe in the Eagles more than any other team in that league.
This is where we disagree. And again, I don't know. I'm fine with either one here. I took the Eagles to repeat. You have the Ravens. I really am so incredibly bullish on both of these teams. And if the Eagles don't get it done, it's probably because the Ravens beat them. Like, that's, I'm not super bullish on any other team except maybe the Rams out there, but that is about it. I just love the Eagles and the Ravens so much this year.
Yeah, I love the fact that you and I sent over our notes to Justin Emery, and like, we didn't know what each other picked, and we were pretty in sync with a lot of this. Yeah, I don't really see a back-to-back winner. I'd love to see the Eagles do it. I am a big fan of, you know, dynasties or building dynasties and stuff like that. I like when there's one specific team that everyone else can kind of root against or for. I just think it's Lamar's year. I think when all is said and done, the Lombardi goes to Baltimore.
The team you are willing to, the team you think you might be the most off base on.
I think we both could potentially be off base on the Rams.
Ooh, minus the 40. I'll admit,
I don't want to be.
Mine could be the 49ers. Mine could be the 49ers. I could be the most off base on the 49ers. Brock Purdy might actually be really, really good. I don't know. I think he's mid. See what I did there? Like,
You crushed it.
I used it correctly to end the show. Look at me. I learned things. See, I can learn things. Even old guys can learn things. Keith Arizari.
Say it 6-7 times.
I'm Matt Brown. Stick around. Cashing out with Greg Peterson's next.